I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Got the update from One Bills Drive. Bills practice is over. They worked inside the AdPro Sports Training Center today after working outside yesterday. Tight end Dawson Knox was not dressed for practice today. He was on the sidelines. Not sure if there's an issue there. We expect to get an injury update at some point during the next couple of minutes or so. Bills getting set for the Miami Dolphins game on Sunday. They handled the Dolphins' 10-point win against Miami 4 weeks ago here in Orchard Park. They'll try to do it again coming up this Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. The Bills have won the last two times they played Miami, but Miami leads the all-time series with 60 wins, 46 losses, and a tie. Miami's won two in a row. Sunday, the weather in Fort Lauderdale is supposed to be mostly sunny, high 76, and just a 10% chance of rain. The Bills getting set to play the Miami Dolphins, their rematch. Dolphins safety Rashad Jones told reporters that this is the week he will return from a cracked rib injury. He's missed the last four. He'll provide some veteran talent for a very young Miami secondary. Bills and Dolphins Sunday kickoff at 1 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium. We got the call of the game right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be up in the booth with Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio down on the sidelines. Tonight, Thursday Night Football gets the NFL weekend started. Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Cleveland to play the Browns. Cleveland fresh off their victory over the Bills 19-16 last Sunday. The Steelers beat the Rams last week 17-12, the final. Steelers have won seven of the last eight times they played Cleveland. Kickoff 8:20 tonight at First Energy Stadium, the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. 49ers left tackle Joe Staley is out for a couple of weeks after finger surgery. He missed a few games, six games with a broken leg. Now he fractured and dislocated his finger in Monday night's game against Seattle, and he is out for a few more weeks. The NFL will not provide Colin Kaepernick's reps with a list of coaches and executives who will attend his league-sponsored workout Saturday. The NFL had agreed to give him a list of attendees, but that's not going to happen. And Sabres hockey tonight. Sabres home against Carolina. Saturday, the Sabres home again against Ottawa. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. Thanks for joining us. An update on Dawson Knox's sore knee. Head coach Sean McDermott said he expects the rookie back at practice tomorrow. A minor issue. That's good to know. Dawson Knox in street clothes on the sidelines today. They need him, Steve. They need to use him. They need to get him going in the offense, along with Tyler
Croft.
Yes, I always want to say Tyler Eifert.
You're right.
But no, Tyler Croft. They need to get those two going in the offense as weapons in this offense.
Right now.
And they're going to score points this week. I guarantee you. Those two will have a role to play. I'm getting more convinced as the show goes along. Look, the Bills scored 31 against Miami a month ago. You don't think they can do it again? I think they can.
Right now, this Bills offense does need to have every weapon available and full go so they can score some points on, and they got to do it on a consistent basis. They come out and I don't think they will score 30. I think I think all they need to do is score 20. You know, they need to keep 20 to 25, and it'll be a step forward for them. They scored 24. Now, they got an onside kick return, but the offense scored 24 points against this Miami team a month ago. That would have been enough. But that's what they got to do. They're going to have to score that much, and I think this is going to be a close game. I think this Miami team is going to figure out a way to keep this thing close.
They're not good.
They are not good, but all they have to be is good enough. And
see, I don't.
They've done that the last couple of weeks.
Did you hear Coach McDermott's message? I don't think you have. You fear the Dolphins. Don't fear the Dolphins. Be fearless. Did you hear what the coach said? Fearless. Attack.
How do we trade places on this all of a sudden?
I'm just saying this. What do you mean trade places?
I'm usually the one that's like, yeah.
I think Miami's really bad. I really do. And I think the Bills are pretty good, not great. I think the Bills have serious issues on offense. I think many of them will not be permanently solved, but will look a lot better this week against an inferior opponent. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's a week-to-week league, and Miami plays pretty well every week. For the last month, they've played pretty well every week, and they've given whatever team they've played fits. No pun intended. So, yeah, I'm – And let's face it, yeah, they beat the Jets on the Jets had a bad day. They beat the Colts with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. The Bills' opponents are 12-54. The Bills' wins, the six wins they've got, came from teams that are now this week 12-54 on the season.
I wonder what the Patriots' opponents' records are.
Yeah, it might not be any better. It's pretty similar. Yeah, very similar.
Don't worry about it.
And they've got like what, two more wins than we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right that you don't set the schedule, but if you're looking for darts to throw at it at the Dolphins and who they beat the last couple of weeks, you know, don't throw darts if you know if you're wearing a dartboard for a jacket. You know,
work on
whatever.
That.
I'll work
I
on
thought
that
you were going to do better.
You know?
Than that.
Don't throw stones if you live in a glass house. Don't throw stones. You know,
you're talking about hugging your ugly aunt. Again,
right, exactly.
Like you were the other day.
So yeah, I think this is going to be a good football game. I think it's going to be close, competitive, like this one last week was, like the ones the Bills always play. I think it's going to be just like that because I think that's the way this team's constructed, and until they show otherwise. I think that's what you expect.
What do you think? Coach McDermott wants him to be fearless. What do you think he means? Send in a tweet. We're going to read more off the tweet sheet. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Before we get to a call, Steve has a point to make.
I will say this in deference to you as my mentor, or whatever you want to call my elder statesman. I see what you see in this game. The Bills are due. Big time. And I think you agree with me, they've got a lot more talent on their offense than they have been able to show and make click thus far in the season. And I think they are due to have one of those light switch games where a couple – and it doesn't need to be much. You know this as well as I do. And two plays.
A couple of plays.
A couple of clicks of the light switch and this team – one click of the light switch and this team becomes very different offensively because I think they do have some things under their hood that they have just not been able to make go. They have all the talent they need to make that happen, particularly in this particular game. Now, having said that, I see what you see. But, you know, I just think the way I've seen things happen in the league this year and the way this team has played, I think it's going to be another close game.
They've got that talent and a pretty serious talent advantage over the Dolphins, I think. They've got that even on offense. I think the Bills' talent excels or is a solid comparison with Miami. And now they got the coach basically turning on the green light yesterday. Let's go get these guys. Let's be fearless. Make plays. Let's go. I think it'll make a difference. Calls. Rich in Buffalo. Go ahead, Rich. You're on the air.
Murph, I called you 2 weeks ago and said, don't turn a Ferrari into a Volkswagen. Josh is a schoolyard quarterback. And let him be what he is. I voiced my displeasure with Dable, and Tasker ripped me and told me I'm crazy. Now, everyone is unhappy with this slow-tempo ball-control offense, and everyone's in panic. 20 years of this tempo-control offense, Murph, has failed us, Bills fans. Let me tell you something, Steve. If this
He's on a roll. I can't stop him.
At least let him go down swinging. So who's crazy now? Have a good day.
He's going to hang up before we can – Rich, are you there? Don't hang up.
Rich, you're crazy.
He
I can say you're crazy, Rich.
Dable, what do you mean 20 years of a slow tempo offense? What are you talking about? Tempo is a factor. It's not everything, Rich. And Steve's going to take you apart here again.
No, go ahead.
You attack Steve. But
I'm not going to do it. I've set my.
I don't know what that means. A schoolyard quarterback. What with Josh? You don't try to coach him.
Like
you don't
this,
try to make him.
Think,
a
they
better
think
player.
Josh Allen's Brett Favre in disguise. What they mean.
I don't know about
sort
that,
of, right?
I don't know if he is. I'll say that.
They think he's going to turn into Randall Cunningham. You know, let's go. What's
you got anything
another,
for
what's
Rich?
Another one? What's another one? What's another guy like that? I came, you know, I don't know.
You got anything else for Rich?
He hung up on us. Everybody,
man. We do the hanging up here. You don't
Murph
hang
is
up
a master of hang up. I get it. And we get a couple of calls like this. And today, you know, when one guy chimes in, another couple of people usually call in later. Like Rich is a good example. They think up tempo, fast pace is going to do the trick. Maybe it will. I like the results when they come through and they work. And I don't know why they have not done more of it. And I guess a couple of people out there, and maybe we'll get a call from somebody else who says the same thing. I haven't observed them do enough fast paced offense and have the kind of success that you're alluding to, the callers, that I would think it'd be the answer. certainly they've done a couple of things on fast pace, and I couldn't even tell you which game it was or whatever. But I don't think they do that every game by any stretch. They certainly got criticized for not being fast enough on the last third down there in Cleveland. They wasted too much time taking them extra few seconds to huddle up and get the right play call in, and there's been a lot of conversation about that. That's the furthest thing from costing them that game, I think. But I haven't seen them run fast-paced, tempoed offense. Forget about no huddle. I haven't seen them do that very much. But I haven't seen them do that enough this year and have the kind of success that makes me think back and go, remember when? I just don't remember that happening. And we get a couple of callers that say they're acting like that happens constantly. I haven't seen that. Maybe I'm missing it. But next person who calls in and tells me that fast pace, make sure you tell me which game and when it happened so I can go back and look at it. But I do agree. Pace has a tempo and pace, and even no huddle offense has a place in every team's arsenal. I just don't know that I have seen the kind of success you're alluding to in your calls about that proving already to you that that's going to be the magic elixir that fixes this offense. I haven't seen that. But if it's out there and you have an instance where you can go back and look in this season and tell me the game and the drive, let me go back and look at it and see if I can remember, because I don't.
And you know what else happens? That, again, I'm not anti-tempo.
Right, I'm the last person. Right. I love it. It's fun.
But it's not an elixir that fixes everything. But what happens, sometimes a team will come out and we're going up-tempo, we're going no huddle this series, three and out, and nobody remembers it. It's like, oh, because it's not a failure. I mean, it's not like we went three and out because we were up-tempo. No, we went three and out because we didn't make plays. We didn't execute. Right. And if you're up-tempo and you make plays and execute, then all of a sudden the tempo looks like it's the reason why.
Everything can blow up in your face, slow tempo and fast tempo and, no huddle and huddle up. I mean, they can all blow up in your face. But if there's somebody out there who can tell me, because I seriously can't remember, because I hear people saying, hey, when they do this up-tempo, when? Because I don't remember. Do you?
They've tried it.
I mean,
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right, we talked about this an opening day in Jets Stadium where they came out and they were all clustered and they moved and they shifted a couple of times and they had motion. They did a lot of pre-snap motion and shifts. I remember that. And I'm sure there's been some times at the end of halves or the end of games where they were kind of in a hurry up and they seem to, they obviously they're 6-3. They've made some things happen at the end of games. So just when? Tell me when so I can go back and watch.
Spencer in Salamanca. Hello, Spencer. Go ahead. You're in the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jack?
Good.
Hey, I think when they're talking about up-tempo, I think they're talking about the scripted plays when they come out after the end of the second half and the start of the first half. I think most of those are scripted, aren't they? I think
the start of the game is certainly. I mean, the start of the game.
He's on the same page when they come out from halftime.
Yep. Right.
My concern is that Josh Allen doesn't seem to be seeing his receivers very well. I mean, there's guys that are open that he's, and he's running with the ball because, I don't know, the line's still part of the problem but it seems like he's having to bail out of the pocket a lot.
Spencer, I think you're onto something, and I mentioned that here Monday, and it's not I would not say that's a consistent negative for Josh, but it was this past Sunday, and I think it has been kind of a prevalent theme of his 20 NFL starts. I've said it Monday, right? He's got to see the field better. He's got to see the field. He's got to recognize, diagnose what he sees from the defense and make quicker decisions. I agree with that. And that is a work in progress. I think he's better at it now than he was a year ago, but there's still room to grow and much more work to be done.
The game slowed down enough for him yet.
Well, right. And it's going to take time.
He comes up to the line. He's looking everywhere. And that's all I got.
All right, Spencer, thanks. And I agree with you. I remember when he first started, he was dropping back, looking one spot, and if it wasn't there,
right,
he was off and running. It's not like that now. It's getting better and better, or he's getting better and better at holding the ball and looking to his second option and third option and making some plays and extending plays as well. But also, this year, unlike last year, he does have time once in a while, not all the time, but pretty consistently, to stand in there let me just finger quote, a normal quarterback in the NFL has time. That's the kind of time Josh Allen has. And at times, once in a while, he's got a lot extra time. We can all picture points in this season where he stood back there and had ample time to throw. And he's completed a lot of passes. He's pretty good when he's not under pressure. His statistics are much better when he's not under pressure. That's not the case with every quarterback. So he's getting better on that front. But, yeah, there's a lot of work for him to do. And he's probably he'd be the first to tell you he's not seeing it like he should all the time. But he is – I think there's – I mean, if you go back and watch the early part starts in his career, the first five or six starts, yeah, he's a completely different guy.
Miles ahead. And I will say this, too. He's not playing the same defenses every week, the same personnel, the same schemes.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots make a lot of people look bad. They made Josh look really bad back in October, September, late September. There are defenses that can't do what the Patriots did. And, by the way, I happen to think this Sunday he'll be up against one of them that doesn't have the personnel nor the familiarity with the scheme to confuse Josh or maybe make his decision-making slower. I think, look, I'm expecting a big game from him this week. And I think part of it is because of what McDermott said. You know, let's play fearlessly.
This is going to be one of the few times in his first 20 starts where he's going to see the same defensive coordinator and the same defensive, or largely the same defensive personnel, for the second time in a season.
Yep.
And a lot of quarterbacks have said that's a big difference maker. It does start to slow down when you start to do that. One more reason why Murph's prediction may come true.
I haven't done a prediction yet.
Well, you've said they're going to score 30.
They're going to score 30 and win. Here is Trent in California. Hello, Trent. You're on the air with us.
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Well.
I enjoy your guys' show. But anyways, I think one of the things that – I mean, we have Josh John Brown. He's been awesome this year. I mean, I think he's on pace to be about 1,200 yards receiving. I mean, Cole Beasley, we brought him in. I mean, he's showed some flashes. I mean, in the last game, I've seen a couple times where he was – open on 3rd and 2, but went for the deep ball. Didn't want to run the ball. So I think who needs to play fiercely is the coaching staff, not McDermott. McDermott's done a great job here in Buffalo. But I think Brian Daboll, I mean, a couple 3rd and 2s, you're going deep on a deep pass. And those situations were actually, if you think about it, they're 4-down territory possibly. Run it at 3rd down. If you don't have it, you have another 4th down. Instead, you're going on a deep ball. Guys are running down the field, coming back on a 4th down, trying to possibly go for a 4th down. You're going to have to punt it or go for the field goal.
And well, Trent, just a minute, though, Trent. Here's the thing. When Josh Allen throws deep on a 3rd and 2, don't take for granted that it was a deep ball called. That's on Josh. That's not on Brian Daboll. They didn't send 4 guys vertical on the 3rd and 4 or the 3rd and 2. And say we're going to go deep or bust. There's guys underneath, and even on the 3rd down, the last incomplete 3rd down play, Josh Allen called that play and adjusted at the line of scrimmage. That was his call, not the offensive coordinator's call. So a lot of that's going on. So don't think just because the ball goes deep that a deep ball was called.
Correct. I mean, I agree with you with that, but it is the offensive coordinator's job to get the quarterback and let him know, hey, this is the situation. This is the situation you're going to. It's a 3rd and 2, possibly a 4th down. And Brian Daboll kind of reminds me of our old offensive coordinator that we had a few years ago, Greg Roman. And he kind of has flashes of the same guy as the Browns coach, Freddie Kitchens. So, I mean, that's a few things I think just need to be adjusted in the game. I think this game, I mean, there's a possibility this might be a breakout game where we score over 30. Like Murph said, it's one of those games that, okay, we looked at the game film last week, we let one slip, we're coming out hungry, because I think the players have been playing out hungry. I mean, there's nothing that the coaching staff telling the players, they're playing their lives out. I mean, one field goal away to go to overtime and see what happens, or possibly make both field goals and would have won. So, I mean, I enjoy you guys' show. Let me know what
Thank you.
You think.
Thanks, okay. You watch a lot closer than I do. If you can make comparisons between Brian Daboll, Freddie Kitchens, and Greg Roman and the style of offenses and plays that they run with 3 different teams or with 4 different teams now, with Greg Roman on Buffalo and Baltimore and Freddie Kitchens with Baltimore, with Cleveland, and now Brian Daboll with Buffalo, that's some pretty in-depth comparisons right there. I can't argue with anything you might find on that. I don't know. I don't see any similarities because I wouldn't know what to look for.
Well, the first thing I thought is he saying they look like each other?
No.
They kind of do. Don't they? Greg Roman and Brian Daboll and Freddie Kitchens, they're not, identical.
They're
twins.
Yeah.
I'm, I'm just saying. Everett and Fredonia, they kind of look like each other. Hi, Everett. Welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hi.
Good. Go ahead, Everett.
Well, I just...
Everett, you got to turn that radio down. You're killing us.
Well, Coach, his comment on play with reckless abandonment after 40-some years of coaching from prep schools all the way through college, I want to say that too often some teams go into a game with the idea that they don't want to lose. And what he was trying to do was to get them to confidence, is to play with abandonment.
Yeah, I think you're right, Everett. I think that's part of it. I think that's a big part of it, confidence. Look, and again, this is the week to do it. Look, McDermott would never say this publicly to the media or to us, but the Bills are much more, have much more talent on the field this Sunday than the Dolphins do, and all they got to do is go out and play freely, and play with abandonment, as you say, and play fearlessly, and they'll come out on top. I really believe that. It's not a walkthrough, or it's not a, you know, you don't have to try hard. You do, but play without fear of losing. I agree. I think you're onto something.
You got
to
think the Bills coaching staff likes their matchups individually and group wise.
And so, you got, and I believe they were a little bit worried about last week's matchups because I was.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so I think it's a different game, and I think they are. They do want this team to have a certain mindset in this game, and being fearless probably speaks to it. They want to go out there and shift gears a little bit on this team and see if they can get into a talent war with the Dolphins and see if they can win it.
You want to take one more call and then we'll get some tweets on? You good with this? Where do you got someplace to be? No, what are you looking at the clock?
No, I'm not looking at the clock. I'm just, yeah, you're okay, go ahead.
Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hello, Dave. Welcome.
Hello. Good to talk to you guys and even better to listen to you. You got some Bills fans up here, and that's me and my family.
Excellent.
Okay.
Wanted to thank you for talking us down earlier in the week, and I think you guys do all the time, make some good points to keep us grounded. Simply, fearless means that they shouldn't worry about what we're all thinking and perhaps what even McDermott is saying. We asked the boy to stop throwing interceptions. He stopped doing it. Now we're worried about the long ball. But you look at it, if, you know, Dawson Knox is a rookie too, they're all going to be making mistakes, and we're not patient enough to wait, even though we know we see the talent there and we expect it today. But, you know, just going to the couple drops, you know, if he's so stressed out that he can't catch the ball, which he obviously can, that's a thing. But around Josh, every single person, whether it's Babel or McKenzie in the end zone going left when the ball was thrown to the outside, perfect score. I think Josh has made a lot of the things happen that we've asked him to, but he's shouldering all the blame, and I think it's everybody. I'm going to say maybe we can get McDermott to become an offensive-minded coach, because if he can do with Daboll what he's doing with Leslie, then we're all in good shape. But a little patience, and thanks for keeping us grounded, guys.
Well, thank you, Dave. I never look at it like that. We're keeping people grounded. You? I don't. No. I kind of think we're speaking – perspective.
Yeah,
I always
perspective,
think about perspective,
maybe. And I he's right. I mean, and on a couple of different notes, Dave, is Josh Allen has done a lot of what he's been asked to do. And it's been fun to see. And they tried to get him to stop turning it over. He did that. He's starting to make some pre-snap adjustments, quite a number of them, and starting to do some stuff, see some things pre-snap, and do some good things with that. And they haven't executed all of them exactly right, but he's seeing that. I think there's one more step you want him to take, and that is post-snap, getting a handle on what the defense is really going to do in this play, and then knowing exactly where to go with the football as a result of that. I think he's still taking him a little too long to get to that point. I think it takes him too long to figure out what they did after the ball was snapped that he thought they were going to do before, and it's something different, and then clicking over and saying, okay, since they're doing this after the snap, I got to throw here, not over here. It's taking him too long to get there at the present moment. When that happens, when that starts to happen faster, when he starts to have seen a lot of these defenses before, then you'll start to see that click and he'll start to make some strides in that respect. But it's going to take a while, and it's going to take another lap around the schedule. It's going to take seeing these defenses again and over and over and getting more and more reps. before that happens. So we'll see. But I'm with you. I'm not with you. We're talking people down. But we've got perspective. It's a week-to-week league. Any of these teams can win. Any of them can get beat. And you just got, and that doesn't mean your team has, because of that loss, like particularly this Cleveland loss for the Bills last week, doesn't mean you've done everything wrong or
doesn't
did
mean
every
the ship is sinking.
Yeah, or it doesn't mean that you did everything wrong in that game. It just means that they made one play more than you did, and that's it. So you can't start chucking people off the bandwagon just because, you know, of a missed play or two. That's just not the way it should work.
Bills have released the injury participation report for today's practice. Two players not participating today, including rookie tight end Dawson Knox with a little soreness in his knee, as Chris Brown reported to us. Shouldn't be as serious, and he is expected to play. Frank Gore got his Thursday rest day off. Jerry Hughes was limited with a groin issue today, limited in practice today. And the guys who did not practice yesterday, the veteran rest days for Lorenzo Alexander and Ty Nsekhe, both of them were able to practice today. All right, when we come back, more talk about this. What do you think it means when Coach McDermott tells his players to be fearless? Plus, coffee with the Bills when we return. Come on back. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back One Bills Live, John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Another entertaining commercial break for us here. Wish you could be here. Hey, we got to mention this, Steve, before we get to Coffee with the Bills coming up. It's out there now, and it's coming, it appears. First, good news. Washington Post says the NFL and the Players Association have made serious progress in negotiations for a new collective bargaining agreement. There's a possibility a new deal could be in place by the time they play the Super Bowl February 2nd. That'd be great. It is increasingly likely the new CBA will expand the regular season to 17 games and cut down the total number of preseason games. It would also expand the playoffs from 12 to 14 teams. Now, the CBA runs through the 2020 season, so nothing would kick in until 2021. A 17-game regular season, likely, increasingly likely. Nothing is settled yet. I'm all right with that, and to cut down preseason games, I'd definitely be all right with that too.
I think they should go 18 games, cut it the preseason in half.
Well, they talked about that, and the PA, the Players Association, pushed back and said no. We're
start
not doing
the season
games.
2 weeks before.
That's not happening
before Labor Day, and then when you get two games under your belt, everybody, the whole league, takes Labor Day weekend off, and then they jump back into it.
The league dropped it as a proposal.
My idea is better. I know
your idea. What about the Tasker plan?
Well, the Tasker plan, if you could get the league to say, "Yeah, we'll take guys off the field for and only let them play 16," that plan would be in place right now. But you know, that's a big sticking point.
Well, because it's a stupid plan.
Well, it would have been adopted.
I don't think it would have been. I think there was a lot of pushback.
My point.
A lot of owner pushbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
We're not going to take our stars off the field for two games.
That's what I'm saying. If the owners would have wanted to do it, the players' union would not have fought it. That's my point.
But they got a 17-game schedule, which I think is going to be perfect.
Games.
Well, yeah, a neutral site game anyway.
Neutral site, yeah.
International. They're playing. There's a game in Mexico City this week, by the way.
Can I just – I don't care.
Okay.
We're not playing.
Steve doesn't
it.
Care.
I don't care. Are they going to play it on the – did they get the goat ranch planted with grass so they can play it down that – stadium down there?
I
can send them. That's an atrocity.
Time now for Coffee with the Bills presented by Tim Hortons, the official cafe. Cafe. Do you care about this?
I do.
Coffee with the Bills, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe, the official cafe and bake shop of the Buffalo Bills. Here's Coffee with the Bills.
Welcome to another edition of Coffee with the Bills, presented by Tim Hortons. I'm Chris Brown, and joining us in this week's edition are Taryn Johnson and Tommy Sweeney, locker room neighbors, in case you didn't know. And these guys are going to be playing a game that we like to call Kicking or Sticking. It's kind of a two-person family feud type of event. So we've polled Bills fans on social media, on Twitter, guys, asked them a series of questions. They provided answers. You need to guess how they answered these questions. If you guess the top answer on the board from the fans, you get 4 points. Any other answer on the list that you get, it's worth a point. First guy to 12 points wins. So let's begin. Question one, we'll let Tommy answer this one first. Bills fans were asked if they could buy a Bills jersey of a current player who is not named Josh Allen. Which player would it be? I mean, what you think they, what the top answer might have been in your estimation?
Jerry Hughes.
Jerry Hughes is his answer. What is your answer? Taryn.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm going to shock you here. Neither of those names were on the list, so 0 points for both of you. Actually, the number one answer was Tre'Davious White, and that was followed by Devin Singletary, Tremaine Edmonds, and Jordan Phillips getting some love, too. So how about that? Big D lineman getting some love. All right, question two. Taryn, you'll be answering this one first. Bills fans were asked if you needed to pick a current Bills offensive player for a must catch situation at the end of the game, who would you pick? Who did the Bills fans say, Taryn Johnson?
John Brown.
John Brown is your answer. What's your answer, sir?
Cole Beasley.
You're going Cole Beasley. Okay. That is, John Brown was the number one answer on the board, so 4 points for Taryn. Cole Beasley was on the list, so a point for Tommy, okay? Moving on to question three. Tommy, you'll answer this one first. Bills fans were asked if you needed a current defensive player to deliver a game-sealing play at the end of the game, who would you pick? What did the Bills fans say, Tommy, you think?
Trey White.
Trey White is your pick. Who do you have, Taryn?
Jordan Poyer.
Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer was the number one answer. Tre'Davious White was on the list, Tommy. Okay, so two number one answers here for Taryn. He's got 8 points. Tommy, you've got two. You're trailing here, but now becomes the deciding part of the program here, guys. So, you currently lead, obviously, on points. So, Taryn, this is the final question of the game. Since you're in the lead, you have the choice. You can either kick or stick. Do you want to punt this question to Tommy to answer? Which, if he answers correctly, he will win the game. If he misses, you win. So, do you want to kick or do you want to stick?
Stick is when I choose the answer.
You choose the answer.
I'll stick.
So, he's going to stick with this one. Okay, so, question four. If you, Bills fans were asked, if you could pick a former Bills player to add to the current roster, who would it be? Who do you think they picked?
Jim Kelly.
So you're going with Jim Kelly. I'm going to give Tommy a chance to answer in case that answer is not on the list. Who would you pick?
Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams. Okay.
That's a good one.
It was not the number one answer, but Jim Kelly is on the list, and I'm sorry, Tommy. Kyle Williams was not in the top four. The number one answer was Bruce Smith. He actually beat Jim Kelly out by one vote. Andre Reed, Eric Molds, also on the list. So, Taryn, you are the winner of this edition of Kicking or Sticking.
Well,
I thank
done,
you guys both for playing. Yeah. Okay, you get a handshake and a smile. That's your reward for doing that. Thank you very much. That will conclude this edition of Coffee with the Bills. We'll see you next time.
I got it right. I got Bruce.
You win. Okay.
I got Bruce. That's the one thing I got.
Coffee untouched. I'll make that point.
It should be coffee cups with the coach.
Right.
Coffee cups with the Bills. There was three guys and two cups.
But it doesn't seem that the rules are a little complicated for kicking or sticking. Chris spent the whole time explaining how they were scoring plays.
Yeah, and I quit listening about halfway through his explanation. I just got to where he asked a question, and I just started answering. So I'm kind of with you.
Our Twitter question today, what do you think McDermott means when he says he tells his team to play fearless this Sunday? What do you think? A quick call here from David in Buffalo. Hello, David, go ahead. Guess not. Let's go to Al in Niagara Falls. Al, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This is about Josh. Josh doesn't trust his receivers, and I think that's creating a problem for the offense.
He
holds the ball waiting on his guy, his first guy to get open, completely open, and when he's not open, it makes him late for his second and third reads.
Mm.
He's wasting a good receiver like Beasley because Beasley is a timing guy. You got to give Beasley the ball whether you think he's open or not. You just give him the ball where you think he's going to be. I think Tasker can speak to this when he was there with Jim Kelly. He wasn't the biggest or fastest guy on the field, but when he was out there, Jim was going to get him the ball because he know he's going to dig up 3 feet of turf to catch that ball.
Your thoughts, Mr. Tasker?
There's a little bit of something in there, I guess, Al. Yeah, certainly Jim anticipated the receivers a little better than Josh is right now. Josh has got guys with strong arms tend to do that because they can gun the ball in. If they wait a little extra time, the defense still can't get there in time to defend the pass because it's got such velocity. I get it, and you're right. It would be better. It will be better the more reps these guys get, and Josh has got to learn to anticipate guys coming out of the breaks and throw it where he knows they're going to be before they're there. That was one of the big criticisms we had with other, with Tyrod when he was here. You know, you had to see it, had to be wide open, then you had to get it in there. And it's hard for offensive coordinators to scheme guys that wide open in this level. You just can't do it. So, yeah, that's one of the things Josh can work on is anticipatory throwing, throwing the guy open, those kind of tosses that we haven't seen too much from him. He needs to do better. There's no question about it. But that's only one of, that is one of 100 things that is asked of a starting quarterback in the NFL, and Josh is working on that one just like he's working on the other 99.
A break here. We're back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. Why am I spitting up on the last break?
Sorry, man. You're doing good. You're doing good.
We're coming here from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. So, what do we learn from today's show? It is brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction rental equipment company of the Buffalo Bills. What did we learn from today's show? Armando Salguero, the Miami Herald, joined us on the show. We asked him how much of Ryan Fitzpatrick's play contributes to the Dolphins' 2 straight wins. Here's what he said.
He has said it himself. He's perfect for this kind of team. This is a very young team, a team that needs direction, but also a team that needs confidence. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is full of direction and full of confidence.
Right.
He's been there and done that over his career. And, there's not a lot of new things that are going to upset him, that are going to rattle him, including a losing streak, which he has been a part of previously on multiple stops in the NFL. So that, and the fact that the guy is he just gets it. Players want to play for him.
Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. Also on the show today, Matt Milano, Buffalo linebacker. So yesterday, Sean McDermott put the team in the meeting room and said, hey, let's play fearlessly this week. Let's be fearless. We asked Matt Milano what McDermott meant. Here's his response.
It just means stop thinking about little things and just go out there in attack mode and swarm to the ball and be aggressive and make plays, basically what he was saying. Now they got us playing free and playing fast, so it should be interesting to watch this on Sunday.
Playing free and playing fast?
Very nice.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and I asked Matt this, and so do we assume from that they were not free and fast in the previous part of the season?
He said there was a little hesitancy trying not to make a mistake, particularly when they started giving up a long run here and there in their run defense. Guys started to tighten up a little bit and say, oh, I got to make sure I do this and don't go outside the lines. They started to pull back a little bit, and they started to play a little tentative, I think, after their – he's at least defensively, I got that idea that's what he was talking about.
Well, and here's the other part. All right, I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree. Do you think the offense interprets McDermott's message one way and the defense another way?
Could be. And you apply it certainly differently because offensively you've got to be so well choreographed. Everybody's got to be doing the right thing all the time offensively. And on defense, you need one guy to react right and make the play, whether everybody else falls down or not. You have to interpret it a little bit individually and collectively. And corporately, collectively on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams. And then, corporately as a big group, as your preparation, your team, you're in the locker room with both sides of the ball, all three sides of the ball, so there's all different ways of interpreting it, and each guy will digest it and turn it into his own individual performance. We'll see how it turns out. It's going to be interesting, though. I think it's a great message, particularly at this point of the season.
Steve, Tonight's game, I find interesting, and I can't say that about every Thursday night game.
Cleveland-Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Cleveland, because we just saw them, I don't think they're going to win this game. But here's Pittsburgh now, 5-4, a game behind the Bills in the wild card race. Pittsburgh will be here in a month. They're a team to watch, right, if you're thinking about the Bills and their playoff chances. Pittsburgh Steelers, who've won 7 of the last 8 games against Cleveland, they are a team to watch. You get a chance to watch them on a national stage tonight. That's a big game for both.
It is, and I think they're going to watch. And Pittsburgh's playing well. Cleveland, it'll be interesting to see what they do against Pittsburgh. And, of course, we're all going to have the cross-references. It's not going to mean anything, but we're all still going to do it. You and I will probably talk about it tomorrow, what Buffalo looked like against Cleveland and what Cleveland looked like against Pittsburgh, and then decide what Buffalo is going to look like against Pittsburgh.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
You do that, sure.
It's 2 weeks away from before this gets, so it's 2 full games away, and it's a week-to-week league, but we're still going to make those generalizations and be happy doing
it's
it.
It's 4 weeks – what, the Pittsburgh's coming up
isn't
here?
Isn't it 4 weeks away? No, is it after Pittsburgh. Baltimore?
Yeah, it's a game.
Oh, okay, so it's like a month away.
It's a month away.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So let's just pump the brakes on thinking this game's going to affect that one.
Things will change between now and then. What will not change, you wouldn't think, is Pittsburgh's quarterback situation, which, look, Roethlisberger is no longer there. They found a way to get competitive now, 5-4, but they're a different team now, right? They're a different team.
Yeah, their defense has rebounded. They're playing much more solid defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick has made a big difference in their secondary.
Thank you, Dolphins.
Miami. And Mike Tomlin is getting kudos for the way he's handled it. You lose a franchise elite quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, a 2-time Super Bowl winner, who's still throwing, who led the league last year in throwing yardage. That's hard to cover up for.
Sure.
And it took the Steelers a minute to do it, but it looks like they've got it done.
And they're without Bell, and they're without the running back, or the wide receiver.
Antonio tip your hat Brown. To Mike Tomlin.
I do, and to be honest with you, I never put him in the first tier of NFL coaches. This year might change that, depending on how this winds
up. I don't want to say it just because of this, but I've always had a higher noticed that my opinion of Mike Tomlin was a little higher than most people around me. I've always felt he was a really good head coach and got the most out of that team and navigated some pretty tough waters. But I do say this, maybe the Antonio Brown problems and the Le'Veon Bell problems, although not as much, the Ben Roethlisberger problems, if you want to, you know, the personality conflicts, were a little bit of Mike Tomlin's doing. But I don't know how much better anybody else would have done with all of those personalities in that locker room.
We had a good show today. We thank you for joining in on the conversation. We'll do it again tomorrow. Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup joins us tomorrow. And also Lorenzo Alexander with a lowdown will join us. So come on back tomorrow at 12 noon. Our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. We see you tomorrow right here at 12 noon. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.